We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Spins, gets inside, left-handed off the glass. Oh, what a sweet move.
Giddy, tough spot, back door, what a pass, what a play. And J-Dub picks the pocket of Trae Young. He'll take it himself.
This isn't Dart, you're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up and welcome to the Uncontested podcast as the Thunder go up 1-0 on the New Orleans Pelicans in the first round of the NBA playoffs in an absolute war, fist fight, rolling around in the dirt, throwing gravel everywhere, gouging eyes out, disgusting of a game. Thunder win 94-92. Holy shit. Where's the Tylenol? I'm your host for the evening, Jacob Niffen. I got my guy who sat next to me in the arena tonight here with me, J.D. Silva.
Fellas, I'm losing my voice a little.
We've also got Justin Peabody with us tonight.
Hello, everybody. Shout out to the chat, man. I've been chilling with the chat for the last 45 minutes waiting for y'all to drive home, and the chat has been popping. Shout out to everybody that just hung around and talked to me.
Absolutely love it. Hopefully Taylor will join us soon. Also got to give a shout out. Got to give a few shout outs to start off the show before we break this game down. JD and I went out to Thunder in the Park and then into the arena. We brought stickers. Justin, some talking baseball here, off pod stuff. This should be off pod. We're out of stickers because we gave so many stickers away. So
awesome.
Need a new sticker order. JD, I have no clue how many people that I've never seen before in my life came up to us and either said fellas or barked or said love the pod or said when is the pod going live, love the show, hey, it's those guys from the Uncontested. Absurd behavior.
Yeah, it was, I don't know how to describe it. It was just really, really cool to meet all these people and know that they listen to us and appreciate the work that we're putting in. We appreciate them just as much. And it's an honor to experience a night like tonight with all these people. Like it was a total blast. And if you came up and said hello to us, thank you for doing so. I'm really bad with names, but I appreciate everyone that said something, whether it be, you know, fellas or the barking or anything. And you know what? We'll get some new stickers soon.
Just an incredible experience. I don't know how many people were at Thunder up in the park.
It looked dope.
In the tens of thousands. I mean, the line to get in at 6:30 into that building was, I've never seen a line that long at that building before.
Got to get that half price beer, man.
Hey. We indulged in some half-priced food and bevs.
It's amazing.
You're damn right we did.
I got a a beef rib, and the bone was about as long as my forearm. And I thought about taking it to my seat and having it in my mouth as I went and barked with it in my mouth. The message was also received loud and clear that we needed to bark tonight.
Big
Justin,
barks.
What was it like watching this game on TNT and hearing the barking?
Incredible. I was laughing my head off. You could hear it at the very beginning of the game. The next moment where it really stood out was the J-Dub Valanciunas jump ball, where they kind of both held on to the ball for a while, and then J-Dub walked back around the top of the key and started barking at the crowd. Like, it was so crystal clear. It's phenomenal. And then the post-game bark on national TV after a playoff win, A+, all around.
I have, like, so much pride in how good the crowd is here, and I had hoped it would come through, and I heard from a lot of people that it did. It came through very well. It was all over Twitter. Yep. People were like, man, I wish I could go see a game in OKC, because
the vibes different. Were back.
Yeah. Even before the game started, it was insane.
The crowd was absolutely electric tonight. Absolutely electric. I mean, Justin, I don't know if they played it on TV. We got taught how to swag surf by FLY Live.
That did not make the broadcast, but I saw plenty of that on Twitter. And, you know, no offense to FLY, but I'm not sure his lesson was successful.
Yeah.
You should. Yeah.
Shout out to the couple. Might need summer school on that one.
Shout out to the couple besides JD and I.
What is like
70-year-old white folks standing there trying
to doing their best.
It was good. Hey, A for effort, man.
Of all places to try and teach that dance, I don't know if, you know, you're going to have to come back a few times is what I'll say.
Yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
94-92. The Thunder beat the Pelicans. Pelicans get the last shot of the game. The ball is in. NBA veteran, guy who's played in a ton of playoff games, playing the Western Conference Finals, a guy who closed out the Denver Nuggets in a closeout game before.
Yeah, he did.
CJ McCollum. And the Thunder went with the 20-year-old rookie.
Insane.
Cason Wallace, who absolutely clamped him.
Locked him down.
Poked the ball out. Forced an up and under kind of double clutch three as the time expired. CJ misses it. And we all make it out of the Paycom Center, calling our doctors for a new prescription of Xanax and slamming some Marlboro Reds.
You know that video of the there's like a, you know, like monkey, like rattling a cage, like fully yes. grabbed onto it. That's what I was doing to the hand railing in front of me for the final like 3 minutes. I could not let go. Just, I don't know. The Thunder were stuck at 88 points for what
yes.
an eternity.
It was the most like stressful, infuriating, frustrating stretch to end that game. That if they had lost, this podcast sounds a lot different.
Oh yeah,
because it was a really ugly stretch of basketball for a good chunk of that fourth quarter, but an absolutely insane Shea circus shot and one, and like you said, Jacob. 20-year-old Cason Wallace locking down CJ McCollum. Like, that's it. Those are the moments in the playoffs. It is that small of a margin that changes it from this being a doom and gloom pod to being like, hell yeah, Thunder and four. we go back to Friday where we talked about at Media Avails, Mark Daigneault talking about you got to win the days in between the games. That's in full force right now.
Yes.
Because that margin is so small. And there's a lot of things to feel good about if you're a Thunder fan. There's a lot of stuff that's got to look different in game two. But the fact of the matter is, like, this came down to one play. Or a couple plays, if you want to be generous.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how small the margin is tonight. And I don't think that changes drastically for the rest of the series.
Blueface in our chat said they went 5 minutes without scoring. Is that the set? I think someone else told me six minutes.
Yeah, it was like five or six.
To be able to go that long of a stretch in the fourth quarter without scoring and to win the basketball game is kind of absurd.
Yeah.
And that is a testament to the Thunder defense. I want to get into big takeaways from this game. I will throw mine out there. I'll have you guys throw yours out there, and then we can just kind of riff off those. for me, it was the level of defensive intensity on both sides for both teams. I mentioned at the start of the show, it's like a rock fight, rolling around in the gravel, stabbing somebody with a shank made out of a spoon. Like, this game was, I mean, it was disgusting. The defensive intensity on both sides of the ball, for not both sides of the ball, but for both teams on both sides of the court, was just sky high. Nobody could get anything clean at all the entire game. I think that loosens up a little bit as we move forward into the series. I don't think these are all going to be games in the 90s. To me, this was a positive sign for the Thunder, though, that they could not get the offense going. They were stuck in mud, and they were still able to grind out a win because their defense was so incredibly elite.
Both teams at halftime shooting 25% from behind the arc. It was that kind of game. They don't end much higher, 28% for the Pelicans, 31% for the Thunder. It was a slugfest, and I don't think all of that percentage can be contributed to the defense, but a good chunk of it. Like, there were no easy shots out there for New Orleans tonight, and I think with the guys that made them pay, like, shout out Trey Murphy, God bless. Like, what a game for that guy. Does Trey Murphy do that three more times in this series?
Justin, one of my takeaways on Friday was you can't let the auxiliary guys get going. You have to cut off the head of the snake.
Yeah.
Tonight, I'm trying to pull up this box score real quick. McCollum, 9 of 22. Brandon Ingram, 5 of 17. But like you just mentioned, Trey Murphy goes 5 of 12 from 3 and is actually the leading scorer for the Pelicans. I mean, I think if Trey Murphy is the leading scorer for this team two or three more times, that seems like a good sign to me.
Yeah. You'll take it.
Yeah, to me, it feels like I'm kind of with you there, Jacob. It feels like if both teams just regress to their means, that the Thunder should win. And tonight, neither of them played to their standards. Some guys, you know, batted above their weight class, others not so much. It does feel like, I mean, the Pelicans played, what, 8 guys?
Like, they played 9 minutes.
They played nine.
Dyson Daniels, 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it just feels like the Thunder are a deeper team, and guys that usually make shots just didn't. I think Justin tweeted, like, more shots went in the rim and out than he had seen
seriously
in a long time. Like, it was insane. Just missing open shots.
And that was for both teams. Like, there were so many shots teams that went halfway down and popped back out. Crazy.
Yeah.
I'll piggyback off of yours, Jacob, but we do have a couple super chats before I get into mine. First one from Hotspot Casino. Told y'all it wasn't going to be an easy series. Hotspot, I will say, shout out Hotspot. He's been saying the Pelicans are the team the Thunder don't want to see for a good month now or so. I don't think any of us thought it'd be an easy series. But definitely lived up to the hype tonight. We also, our guy Alan in the chat, Alan McIntosh, if this team shoots a good percentage like they usually do, these games are going to be completely different. When the threes start to drop, we got this series. And I think we talked about that on Friday too, of this team, when they make threes, they win a lot of games. And so the fact that they won tonight while shooting 30% from three, that's a great testament to all the other facets of the game that they did well. One of which, my big takeaway, welcome to the freaking playoffs, Chet Holmgren. Chet tonight, 32 minutes, 6 of 14 shooting for 15 points, 11 boards, 2 assists, and how many blocks? 5. The answer is 5 blocks. Incredible. Incredible performance in his first playoff game for the rookie Chet Holmgren. Just insane stuff on both ends of the floor. Took a little bit to get going shooting the ball, but as did basically all 20 guys that played tonight.
He actually hit the first shot of the game. Yes,
he did. He did hit the first shot of the game and then missed like his next 6 or something.
Did this game start with a Chet block and then a Chet 3? Is that right?
Yeah.
Justin, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm riffing a little bit here because that entire game feels like a fever dream.
Yeah, that's how I'm feeling right now.
I don't blame you. Insane. Incredible performance from Chet. The block with, like, I forget what point it was, a few minutes left in the game, where I don't know how he got his hand on the ball.
No.
That felt like the tipping point. That was the moment where Oklahoma City had, they had been scoreless for quite a few minutes at that point. They needed something. It's the kind of the theme of the game, to like roll it back to what you just said, Jacob. Like, the shots weren't falling. They needed something, and it was the defense that came through, specifically the individual defense of Chet Holmgren on that play to open it up, to get him a fast break bucket. I think it was Shea who converted it on the other end. Oklahoma City does really well with the fast break points tonight. I'm trying to pull it up. I can't find the fast break points, but they had a lot more. 20-7. There it is. God mm-hmm. bless. 20-7 in fast break points over the Pelicans. Taylor's literally texting me stats while he's driving a motor vehicle to come join this pod, which doesn't seem safe, but is so extremely on brand for Taylor. Incredible stuff.
He just texted. He's pulling in. He's still texting while driving.
Breaking news. Taylor drives car through house. Can't join pod.
Single car accident.
Yeah, the Chet Holmgren experience tonight was freaking awesome, Justin. He's one of the one of only five NBA players to have, what was the stat, 15, 10, and 5 blocks his playoff debut, which is absolutely incredible. Joins a list of very recognizable NBA players' names, and then one guy that I'd never heard before in my life. So shout out to that guy. Justin, one of the big storylines heading into this game for us was the Jonas Valanciunas, or as everybody in the chat is calling him, Travis Kelce minutes. You had talked about it a lot on the preview show on Friday night. We had mentioned that Jonas played an average of 17 minutes a game in this series, in the regular season.
Yep.
Tonight, Jonas gets 29 minutes, went for 13 points, 20 rebounds, 9 of them offensive, 5 of 9 shooting, 3 of 4 from the free throw line. The big man Jonas minutes against the Thunder. What are your guys' takeaways from those minutes, and how do you feel like they play a role moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, it was very clear they were trying to exploit that strength, and like, that's the easy talking point for the Thunder is, well, they can't rebound. They need someone to guard the bigs like Jonas Valanciunas or Jokic or whoever. And in my head, as I was watching it, it was kind of like, okay, I mean, if you're going to throw it to Jonas Valanciunas in the post every single time, I'm kind of like fine with that, rather than Trey Murphy taking more threes. And if you're a fan of plus minus, Jonas was a -2 ultimately. Like, he wasn't some, like, he was having an impact, obviously, with rebounds and second chance points, and he was creating those opportunities. But the Jonas, I don't know, I'm not that worried. And he didn't play in crunch time for a reason.
Yeah, I think that was the telling part for me. It started to feel like, man, they kept going back to him. And to their credit, it worked in certain ways, like you said. Down the stretch, though, for a good chunk of that fourth, even like the good chunk of the fourth where the Thunder were not hitting shots, Jonas was on the bench. He did not come back in till the final play. And I thought it was kind of strange, actually, that they put him back in on the final play. I'm not sure what he was adding to that equation on the court, unless they thought they had a chance to get an offensive rebound, which probably would have been a safe bet tonight. But I don't think, just like the regular season, I don't think it was this like doomsday scenario where it's like, oh man, you just can't stop Jonas. I think, like, you hit the nail on the head, JD, of you can live with them feeding Jonas in the post and letting him run down 3/4 of the shot clock and living with the results, rather than Trey Murphy or CJ McCollum or who was the other guy that lit us up tonight?
It felt like Herb Jones did.
I was just about to say Herb Jones, but like 2 of 8, that doesn't feel right.
Watching it, it's like, damn it, he hit another one.
But the eye test felt different.
Yeah. The thing with the Jonas minutes for me, JD, I think you hit it on the head. If they want to throw it in and pound the ball, like, go for it.
Yeah.
Like, the problem is the rebounding. That was an issue. the Pelicans, this is a blowout if they don't get as many second chance points. Yep. I mean, it is an absolute blowout if they don't get those. There was that one possession in the fourth where they got like five offensive rebounds in a row, and I about swan dived out of the 300 section and just ended it all.
Pelicans got 18 offensive rebounds tonight.
You got to cut that number in half
compared to the Thunder's eight.
And yep. So that leads me to this question. And we're going to touch on a lot of different guys here tonight. Jalen Williams, J. Will. We're going to touch on them, not touch them.
Thanks for the clarification.
J. Will. He and Jonas got into it multiple times, getting hooked. J. Will got real pissed. I got to tell you, him getting super physical with Jonas down low on one end, on the other end, splashing the corner three and staring the man down in his face. Erotic. Absolutely erotic.
That sounds like erotic with a capital E, the way you're saying.
Yes, erotic.
Erotic.
The Larry Nance Jr. minutes, I don't mind Chet playing those minutes. I kind of like Kenrich Williams playing those minutes. Do you guys think there a world exists where next game, in some of those Jonas minutes, we see the two big lineup with J. Will and Chet?
Yeah, I do. I kind of thought we were going to see it tonight for a little while.
Yeah.
And I think Mark is...
Hey, Taylor.
I don't think Mark is not going to just rest on his laurels and think that this same plan is going to work, but they're just going to hit shots. Like, he's going to try different stuff every game. And I fully expect the double big lineup to show up at some point.
Yeah, I don't know that it'll be a ton of minutes, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it, because it feels like J. Will really did a nice job when he was out there tonight. Really did a great job making the most of his minutes, which, if you're going to be Dagnall and play 11 guys, which I don't know if we're going to play 11 guys every time, but if you are, you need those guys to make the most of their minutes. And credit J. Will. He did a great job tonight.
Like, J. Will's stat line tonight. The guy played 7 minutes, 6 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal.
2 of 4 from the floor. 7 minutes feels crazy because I felt like he had such a huge impact on that game.
Yes, he did. He had a great impact on the game in such little minutes. I expect us to see a little bit more of him. Speaking of minutes, like, guys, the Thunder played 11 dudes.
Crazy.
Now, J. Will, Gordon Hayward, and Kenrich Williams all played in single digits. I felt like Kenrich maybe could have played a little bit more offensively. He struggled. But in that first half, he had some defensive possessions that were just, holy shit. Like, he's everywhere. But the Thunder go 11 deep tonight. We talked about this. There's no such thing as an 8-man rotation. They're going to play all those dudes. And I expect some of them to shoot a little bit better going forward. Like, Isaiah Joe is 1 of 3. I'd like to see him get a few more up. Wiggins didn't miss a shot. I mean, the bench actually shot really good. 2 of 4, 0 of 0, 1 of 3, 2 of 5, 2 of 2, 2 of 3. The bench was very, very efficient. What'd you guys see from those players off the bench that you hope translates to later games in this series?
I thought that Isaiah Joe did what Isaiah Joe does, in that he continues to come up big in the right moments. 1 of 3 from three, but that one was a real good one. Obviously, still a big positive on the offensive side of the floor, but a non-negative on the defensive side of the floor, which I know that's a double negative. But being able to play Joe out there and know that he can compete on the defensive end of the floor too is huge. I think they're going to continue to lean on that from him moving forward. And then Wiggins, same thing. Like, the moments that Wiggins chose to show up tonight, only 2 of 2 from the floor, 1 of 1 from behind the arc, and 1 of 1 from the free throw line, didn't miss a shot. And all of those shots, all 4 of those baskets, were huge, like, really important moments and really important plays in the game. That's exactly what you need from this bench unit. We've talked about it all year. The Thunder don't have a 6-man. They have this, like, platoon that comes in, and it's going to look a little bit different every game. Tonight was a good taste of that. Even a guy like Gordon Hayward, 9 minutes, 0 for on the shots. My guy didn't hoist the basketball once. but he had two boards, one assist, one steal, and one block. Like, that's not bad work.
Justin, it was bad.
It wasn't bad, Taylor.
It was bad. He was giving up defensive rotations. My dad and I were over there just like hands on our heads.
He swallowed up CJ.
After CJ fell beforehand.
It doesn't matter.
I'm not giving Gordon Hayward much credit here. I don't think Gordon Hayward should see the floor much.
And I was surprised.
I thought he did all right. This was after I promised Mr. Clay Bennett that I'd be positive on the podcast.
Oh boy.
And here I am. But when Aaron Wiggins comes in and does what he does in the fourth quarter, he doesn't play the third. He starts the fourth, which is on brand with Mark's rotations throughout the majority of the regular season.
Yeah.
Starts the fourth. And then we see the lineup of the starters with Wiggins instead of Josh Giddey. And I was really excited to see it. It wasn't necessarily great. There was a run there. It was ups and downs, right? There was some swings there for the Thunder. The Pelicans went on a run of their own. But I really liked seeing that. I liked Mark going to Wiggins there in the fourth. And Gordon Hayward doesn't have it. He doesn't have it offensively. And that's just the truth. I don't think he can truly contribute in a playoff series. And I was disappointed to see him get, let's see, I'm going to look at it really quick. Nine minutes to Wiggins, 15. And a lot of those came in the fourth quarter, like I mentioned.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a very Mark Daigneault thing to do. I wonder how much of it was first playoff game, like, let's put these guys out there and see who responds of feeling things out. Like, do we think 11 is the number moving forward? Or do we think game two might be a couple less?
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good talk for Gordon Hayward. 11.
I'm distracted.
I'm saying for just number of guys playing.
I think it stays there.
You think it stays at 11?
I really do. Everyone that played did fine.
They did.
Like, I know Taylor just went on his tirade there. right as I joined in. Like, I thought
Gordon didn't take a field goal attempt. What are we talking about here?
Like, forgettable. Like, yeah, he wasn't. I don't feel like he was bad in the sense that, like, he caused this team to, like, struggle. I think the entire game was a struggle. I want to see him shoot the ball for sure. I think he probably gets the same amount of minutes in game two. That's what my assumption would be. But Kaysen and Isaiah off the bench.
Huge.
Like, just I thought their defense was great. Obviously, Kaysen's. And Isaiah Joe, just the threat of the shooting of Isaiah Joe does so much for this team. Like, spotting him in the corner, having him float up to the top of the key, using him as a screener. There are so many things that he does that, like, teams don't want to leave him. And I felt like that was a thing with New Orleans tonight. Another little wrinkle. I know we're just kind of riffing and going all over the place. Circling back to Chet, I love the Shea and Chet or Dub and Chet pick and rolls when Jonas is in the game, because Valanciunas is not quick enough to switch that, and he's not quick enough to hedge it and get back out to Chet. I would love to see the Thunder just spam that pick and pop to where Chet pops out, and if he's open, he catches and shoots. And when the closeout starts coming, not to do a dribble move, but one dribble, power, shoulder down, drive and kick, or drive and get to the rim. I feel like that's where the Thunder can really play in an advantage in this series. And that is where it plays Jonas off the floor, I think.
Definitely.
Is it time to, there's a player we haven't talked about yet. Is it time to talk about that player?
Before we do, I want to hit on a couple more super chats. First on Chris Parrish. Playoff basketball is back in OKC. Thunder up, sitting in Taco Bell's drive-thru watching.
That's amazing.
Ever a place that I imagine a degenerate watching the
hell
pod.
Yes, Chris.
That is the place.
One of us. One
Please
of
get
us.
A Cantina Crispy Chicken Taco for me.
They're very
Next
good.
Up, Dave Wu. I'd like to think the end-of-season stretch when Shea and Dub was out helped some of the guys to perform well tonight. Good clutch time experience. I think this is a great point.
I totally agree.
Totally agree.
Huge, huge minutes from all the other contributors, especially on a night like tonight where Shea had a pretty ugly stretch in the fourth, and we needed to see some of these other young guys step up for OKC, and that's exactly what they did.
And Silva, I know you want to talk about somebody else, but I just keep going back to the style of game that this was is not a game that should be won by the team that has two rookies and a sophomore on the court to close the last 4 minutes of the game. Like, this fight it out. I'm trying to come up with more wild analogies. Pull like a Game of Thrones level, like smashing your face in and popping your eyeballs out with the mountain versus the viper fight. Like, that's what this game felt like. This game was just
it was physical.
Dirty. I felt like I watched two pigs wrestle in mud, two hogs going at it. And this is not the type of game that a young team
I almost
wins.
Said something. I won't.
Like, a young team typically folds in that situation. For them to be able to win a game of this style, like, tells me so much about this team.
Huge, maturity wise.
That's kind of my big, again, I know there's some additional players we want to get into, but my biggest takeaway here is Thunder fans are going to tune in tomorrow morning to the First Takes and whatever Skip Bayless's thing is over at Fox Sports now. And the big theme is going to be the Thunder were barely able to pull it off against a team without Zion and offensive rebounds. It's like, but look at the Thunder. Right. Look at how they played. Do we really think that J-Dub is going to be 8 of 18 from the floor? Is Chet going to be 6 of 14? Shea, 11 of 24, 0 of 3 from 3, only 7 free throw attempts. And then the 3-point shooting is something we talked so much about on Wednesday, or actually Friday's podcast. 10 of 32 from 3, 31% from 3 for the Thunder. That's in comparison to the Pelicans, 28.2%. But I thought the defense was fantastic. And that's something that's a big positive takeaway from this. At the same time, the Thunder are not going to shoot like this for the majority of the series. And so I wouldn't put too much stock into whatever's going to be said by the national media tomorrow.
Or ever.
Right.
Yeah.
I think this game just showed me that this Thunder team can win the series pretty handily. Silva, tell us about that player you wanting to get into.
Well, I think it's taken us 31 minutes to talk about Josh Giddey because his presence was not felt in this game, and he was largely ineffective. He only played 20 minutes. It was 1 of 6 from the field, and it just it wasn't the same Giddy we had seen the last month at all. Like it was, I don't know. It didn't feel the same as they're just ignoring him from three and he's missing everything.
Agreed.
It didn't feel like that. Like he was still aggressive. He was just missing.
He wasn't effective.
He wasn't schemed off the floor. He just was not good. And I think we talked on Friday of he felt like a guy that could be coming out tonight and hitting.
I predicted triple double.
Yeah. Yes, you did. And instead, he almost went Tony Snell. But like, I think you can't base this is not a referendum on Josh Giddey, the basketball player, right? It's a bad game. And there was a lot of bad games tonight on both teams. I look for him to come out in game two and hopefully be more aggressive. And I think that's what gives me hope, I guess, right? Is that he wasn't schemed off the floor. It wasn't like, well, the Pelicans figured out how to exploit that matchup and we'll never see Josh Giddey again. Like it wasn't that kind of move. He just was off. It took, I think it was late in the third, maybe early fourth when he got his first bucket, his only bucket. Rough shooting night on a night when lots of guys had rough shooting nights. Mm-hmm. I think what I would love to see more of him, the three assists were pretty nice as always, like some really nice finds, a nice dish in the lane to, I think it was Isaiah Joe or maybe Cason Wallace. I can't remember. Good finds as always. Like if the shot's not falling, let's see more of that because I think those opportunities are always going to be there.
I think especially if you can get him with that second unit a little bit more where it's a little spaced for him with the shooting and especially in lineups that don't have Jonas where he can kind of play bully ball and really push down there and try to run somebody over. Part of the problem is Josh just doesn't have elite handles yet. And that poses a problem for him. Forgettable game for Josh. I hope that game two proves a little bit differently. But JD, you mentioning the Josh Giddey of it all, and we've gone 30 minutes without talking about him. We haven't really talked about Shai and Dub.
Or and Dort. Dort's the other one I was thinking of when I was listening to you guys driving home.
That might be, I mean, we talked a lot about Chet. That might be something we need to talk about, is those three guys. So, Justin, which one do you want to start with? Shai, Dub, or Dort?
Let's start with Dub. Because we alluded to the barking, but we haven't actually talked about like what he did on the floor yet.
I got stats for you real quick.
Let's hit it.
Dub in his playoff debut, 19 points, maybe my favorite number, 7 rebounds.
Agreed.
4 assists, 2 steals, a plus 8, went 8 of 18 from the field, only 1 of 5 from 3, 20% for a 45% three-point shooter. I think that number is going to go up. What did you see from Dub tonight, besides just the vibes and the barking?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think a really nice introduction to playoff basketball, just like we talked with Chet, we can give him as much praise. Lou Dort got all the applause for clamping BI, but the moments that J-Dub was on BI were really solid as well. There, he was fighting over screens and hanging off the shoulder of Brandon Ingram, not making life easy for him at all. Offensively, especially, it felt like when Shai was struggling a bit or pressing a little bit, which I think happened a few times tonight, J-Dub, you can put the ball in his hands and either let him go facilitate or try to go get a bucket. And he had some really strong drives to the basket. He had some nice mid-range finds where he'd cut around a screen and just happened to be open, you know, like just kind of find himself wide open and hit that mid-range really nicely. I think all around, like, you can't ask for a much better game. It still wasn't a perfect game, and there's still room to improve, but, like, a really, really good first playoff game for J-Dub.
I know we all have our individual sayings on this podcast that we always go back to. Knicks is in a vacuum, and Jacobs is hit the nail on the head. And, Justin, I think you hit the nail on the head.
In a vacuum.
In a vacuum. when you talked about J-Dub's performance when Shea was struggling, especially there in this stretch during the third quarter and there in the fourth quarter when Shea really was forcing. It was J-Dub who stabilized the offense. There was a time in the fourth where I actually tweeted out, get the ball in J-Dub's hands, because he was driving to the rim, finishing, making things happen. I understand he wasn't super efficient tonight. I personally find that very promising. 8 of 18 from the floor, still had 19 points. Like, sign me up, because he is not going to shoot that poorly from the field moving forward in this series. He was just getting his feet wet. And the defensive impact, like you mentioned, is just significant. I think J-Dub is going to have a huge series moving forward here in this first round. And it was really promising what we saw from J-Dub, especially when Shea was struggling there. It was J-Dub who stepped up.
I feel like it's crazy to talk about J-Dub tonight. Like, not that efficient at 8 of 18. And we're also talking about Trey Murphy cooking us, who also was 8 of 18. 8 of 18 was just kind of cooking tonight because nobody was doing much better.
Yeah, well, I mean, exactly. Just a hair under 50%. And, yeah, in a game where everyone shot 30%. Under 50%. Yeah, it is what it is.
Trey Murphy was 5 of 12 from 3.
That's crazy. The big difference. That's crazy.
Sure. 5 three-point makes is a big difference, but yep. 5 of 12 is not very efficient.
I told JD while we were watching the game multiple times, it's not enough to get Trey Murphy to miss. You have to get those attempts down. You got to crowd a space to where he can't shoot 12 times, because he's a guy who can get really hot.
Yep.
And but the thing is, he doesn't really create his own three. He relies on others to create the shots for him, and then he knocks them down. Goes back to that point of attack defense, and this is where we'll transition to Lu Dort. Holy hell.
Torture chamber full effect.
If I had to hold God himself to under 10 points for my life, I'm calling on Lu. I mean, he had BI in like the fifth level of hell.
Incredible.
It was... That defensive performance was insane. Dort played 35 minutes, had 6 points, 2 big threes, 4 rebounds, and an assist. Like, the stat sheet doesn't do anything for you. But then you go look at Brandon Ingram's line, who was 5 of 17. Dude had 12 points on 17 shots. I mean, Lu, you couldn't screen him off of him. And he got so low and just played underneath him. Brandon couldn't back him down. I mean, Lu was everywhere, contesting every shot. Just an absolute masterclass of a defensive performance by Lu Dort tonight. The 2 threes are just like icing on the cake. Like, if you told me he's going to average like 7 points a game in the series, I'll take it if the defense is at that level.
Yeah.
We wondered a little bit Friday night. In the matchups, would they put Lu on BI or would they put Dub on BI? And who's playing on CJ? I kind of like the length of J-Dub on CJ, because it doesn't matter with Lu. Like, as long as your best player against the Thunder isn't Nikola Jokic, I think Lu Dort's going to get the assignment.
Agreed. And only three fouls on the night as well. It wasn't like he was in foul trouble. He was playing that level of defense without getting the foul calls. That is key. And I think if we go and after our podcast is done and we're listening into some of the Pelicans podcast post game, they're talking, one of the points will be, how can we get Lu Dort in foul trouble? Because he just absolutely gave them hell. And something that I love that Justin mentioned earlier in the podcast is it wasn't just Lu. You have J-Dub coming out on him. Yep. You have Cason Wallace out there as a defender. These multiple defenders that you can throw out at these players. That's just a huge advantage for this Thunder team. And ultimately, on a night where they didn't have it going offensively, I think it was that really carried this team through the majority of the game.
I don't know if I see I don't see Brandon Ingram's life getting any easier either. Like, this is not going to stop. He's the number one option for New Orleans without Zion. Like, if Brandon Ingram goes to sleep and ever has sleep paralysis, he's going to see Lu Dort just standing at his doorway. Because of what happened tonight. Like,
he had him in hell. I mean, he absolutely had him in hell. CJ got loose a little bit, especially with that little midi floater, getting guys on his hip, Like, CJ had a fine game. When it's all said and done, you held them to 92 points. And Pelicans folks and Pelicans fans and Pelicans podcasts are going to say, it was a bad shooting night. We'll get better. Well, the Thunder can very easily say the same.
Yep. Exactly what is, we already said on the spot.
Yeah. I think the Thunder have a much higher ceiling of variance than the Pelicans do. Again, because I feel like the Pelicans only have two guys who can really create.
Agreed.
You know, for how physical of a game this was, the Pelicans took 9 free throws and the Thunder took 13. So shout out to the folks saying that the refs are letting Shea live at the free throw line, because that's pretty
Pelicans amazing. Accounts were in media, were in full effect there on twitter.com or x.com, whatever you want to call it.
It was a fist fight on both ends of the court. You can't say one team got the benefit of the whistle over the other. Although I still don't understand how you challenge something. The call gets changed from the original call, which means you were successful.
Yep.
But then they tell you you're unsuccessful, take your challenge away.
Right.
But still leave it with the second result.
That was absurd.
I have no idea what happened with that.
You guys were probably all driving, but while I was hanging out with the degenerates in the chat and watching the post game, Dignald addressed this in post game comments a little bit. He said,
let's talk about the play. Tell us the play, Justin.
So it was it went off the hand of both Larry Nance and Chet Holmgren. The refs called it a jump ball. Dignald challenges it. It gets determined that it is Pelican's ball, which means it's a successful challenge. And then they told Dignald that he doesn't get to keep his challenge or his timeout, which feels like a penalty for an unsuccessful challenge. So he said, I went and looked it up to make sure I wasn't crazy. There was a Jazz game, I think he said in January, where this same thing happened. And he challenged, and the exact same outcome. And the head, the crew chief that night told him, you get to keep the challenge and you get to keep your timeout, even though the other team got the ball, because it was technically a successful challenge. He goes, so I've been operating the rest of the season assuming that is true. Nobody ever called me. Nobody ever said, if that was wrong, nobody ever said that was wrong. Tonight they told me the opposite. He goes, so I just was surprised, because that is not what he thought should have happened.
Well, I would add on to that.
I don't know the rule. Section, I don't know which is right. But
in our section, we're watching the game live. We hear Tony Brothers on the microphone. I believe it was Tony. But he said the Thunder retain
their
timeout.
Yep. And then they went over, and it looked like he got a call from Sekakis or something and was on the headset,
right,
and somebody overruled him.
Got a call from Adam Silver. Hey, cook the books, buddy.
Jonte Porter on line one, sir.
All right. This podcast is going long. It's almost 1 a.m. Let's transition and close this bad boy out with the Thunder's MVP candidate and Clutch Player of the Year candidate, top three in both as of tonight.
Hello.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Shea, not his playoff debut. A lot of playoff debuts tonight. Not for Shea. Comes in against what I think a lot of people would say is the best Shea defender in the league, maybe, in Herb Jones.
Yeah, what a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Shea goes 11 of 24 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3, 6 of 7 from the free throw line, for a total of 28 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He did have 3 turnovers. I felt like that 11 of 24, I don't know, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, there was 3 to 4 of those that were layups that rimmed out, or shots that got 3/4 of the way down and rattled back out. Now, shout out to, I think Herb blocked him 2 times. Shea drove in and got ripped by Larry Nance on the weak side. So, not a flawless game, but I feel if those couple of shots go in, which we're so used to them going in, we're not talking about a Shea 28-point night. We're talking about a Shea 35-point night, and we're not stressing a buzzer beater from the Pelicans and Kaysen having to clamp CJ. We're cruising to an 8-9 point, three possession victory in game one.
I think that was the case for a lot of guys tonight. Like we hit on it earlier, the ball just felt like it kept going halfway down, but it felt like especially loud for Shea because it's so out of character for him. He was getting to his spots. He was doing the moves we're used to seeing him do. They just weren't going in. And I think you said it, Jacob, of he was getting to the rim and it just wasn't falling. That's a fraction of an inch difference in actual gameplay makes a big difference in the stat sheet, makes a big difference in the score line. I wouldn't expect that trend to continue from him. I think the only part of the game that gave me pause tonight where it felt like I had never seen Shea as rattled as when he rifled off a few turnovers in a row in the middle of the fourth quarter. That felt pretty loud.
And exactly what I was thinking. Yeah,
I don't think they were all his fault either. Like one to Chet is like he thought Chet was cutting to the basket, but Chet kind of went out instead. Similar thing happened. I think it was a pass to Isaiah Joe on the wing. It felt like all of them were probably a little tightly wound when the game started getting tight down the stretch. So I don't know that you can pin those all on Shea, but it stood out because it was so out of character for him. And I think that's the growing pains. So the fact that Oklahoma City could have some of the growing pains that you expect and everybody's been talking about for a week that you're going to see from this team who's so young and get the dub, ideal scenario. You don't want to cakewalk this win and not be tested. Like they got tested and they passed, and that you can't beat that.
Just like me in a COVID test.
Unbelievable. We have another super chat from Chris Parrish, who I'm hoping is still sitting in the Taco Bell drive-thru, but he did not say that. That is just my assumption. SGA was holding his powers back. He has restarted Smallville like me. He's waiting to be Superman. I like it.
Love it.
I like it.
Hey, before we leave, you guys want to do some hot takes?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Am I going to read the ad? Do I need to read the ad?
Yes, read the ad.
I don't have the ad pulled up. I can't read it.
Unbelievable. I got you.
Yeah, Justin's got us. Be both
great
of us.
Great podcasting. This is what happens when you have a show at 1 a.m.
This is the 1 a.m.
Wednesday will be earlier because we're not driving home from the game. We promise.
It is technically Monday. Happy Monday, everyone. All right. Time for the Dave's Hot Chicken Hot Takes of the Week. The East Hollywood pop-up sensation turned fast casual superstar Dave's Hot Chicken is now serving Oklahoma in Bricktown, Edmond, and coming soon to Chisholm Creek. Their mouth-watering sliders and tenders are offered at 7 spice levels, ranging from no spice to Reaper, which requires a signed waiver for those who dare. Each piece of hand-breaded chicken is spiced to order, using a blend crafted specifically for its heat level or no spice at all, along with sides of house-made kale slaw, creamy mac and cheese, and crispy seasoned fries. And try the new Dave's Not Chicken, cauliflower slices that taste just like Dave's Hot Chicken, but they're not. Visit Dave's Hot Chicken in Bricktown right next to Fuzzy's Taco Shop before or after the next Thunder home playoff game. Now it's time to fire off our Dave's Hot Takes coming off of a game one win. What do we think happens next, boys?
Hot take. They win another game. This is at least going 5, boys. No, I'll give you my hot take. Kaysen Wallace got 19 minutes tonight. Give me 25 minutes for Queso in game 2.
Oh,
whoa.
I like that. I think that's got a little spice on it. I'm gonna put that at I'm gonna give you a hot for that one.
Yeah, you put some stink on that one.
Put some
I'll give you hot. Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. It's not necessarily unlikely. At the same time, it's pretty spicy. Give you the hot.
All right. Taylor's over here saying Gordon Hayward should play 0 minutes. But when I say, hey, give this other guy 6 minutes, no, it's hot.
Too hot. Too hot for TP. TP is a mild guy.
I love it. All right. Another hot take. Let's go.
I'm gonna go with Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is going to come back and shoot 60% in game 2.
I'm going to give you mild because I expect that.
I'll go medium. Ooh. I think he could, but if game 2 is anything like game 1, it's like a shovel to the back of the head.
Yep. 60% for reference. He shot like 35% tonight. I was told there'd be no math. It was like a, 58% that's a big jump
or something from the season. That is fair.
Big jump.
I was thinking more so him jumping up into that like 35.
Also, 11 of 24 range. Is got to be in the 40%, right?
Sure. I don't know.
Math is hard. It's too especially late for at math. 1 a.m. Yeah.
carry the decimal point, Justin. Come on, man.
No.
Mm-mm. You want me to go next?
Sure.
How about the Thunder score 120 points on Wednesday? What do you think about that? I was not prepared for a hot take. I have to be at work in roughly 6 hours. was not
same, brother.
Me
hot.
Either.
I'm going hot.
I'm giving you extra hot.
Let's go. I was thinking more hot. I expect a little more of an offensive explosion, I think, in the second game. But yeah, 120, the way the playoffs have been officiated, just in general across the board, I think hot's pretty fair.
Yeah. Not getting the free throw line much, buddy.
Yep.
Taylor, what's yours?
Close us out.
Wait, before Taylor goes. I was just thinking about this because it could have been a hot take. If you had to place money, like a lot of money,
on a bet, God.
Never made parlay in my life, on which player in this series will throw a punch at another player, who would you put your money on?
Oh, this is easy. Jose Alvarado, hands down.
He did try to trip some folks.
I think I'm going Valanciunas on this one.
Also the other correct answer.
I think I'm going Jonas.
Herb Jones?
Wow, you guys are all going Pelicans? You don't think any of the Thunder guys want to scrap?
I don't think they will scrap.
I
want to see some scrap.
Can we include Trey Mann in this?
Hey, shout out Trey Mann. You
didn't even mention
shout
that. Out Trey Mann. That's seriously so cool.
Super cool.
Very cool. Give me Jay Will.
Jay Will,
two-piece and Jonas down the court.
Just like me, smiling the whole time while just
throwing
some blows.
You think Jay Will would pull all the way back like Serge back in the day?
Dude,
yes.
So good.
Yes. Hey,
Serge had that Biombo thing cock, brother.
He's winding that shit up.
Throw Biombo in there. He'll do it.
Phil's mildly racist. All right. Just Taylor, give us your hot take. Get out of here.
Biombo's got that dog in him.
All right, Taylor, give us a hot take so we can leave.
Josh Giddey played 19 minutes tonight. I won't go through the list, but if you look at the starters, that is significantly less than the rest of the starters played. I think Josh Giddey plays 30 minutes in game two, at least 30 minutes in game two, because he plays so well.
Hey, I thought defensively he was fine tonight. Some people were trying to shit on my guy. I thought he moved his feet really well. He stayed in front of his man. He didn't get beat off the dribble. Sometimes he did give Trey Murphy a little bit too much space. I'd like him to... It's like a give and take. If you close out on Trey Murphy, he's got a better chance to get by you, and then you're in rotation. Overall, I thought Josh was okay defensively. It was the offensive side of the ball that was a total freaking stinker. 30 minutes. I will go medium.
Oh,
not very hot stuff tonight for me, guys. Justin, JD, what would you
fired up after this game?
I think I'd go extra hot.
I'll split the difference at hot on this one.
There we go.
Okay.
I think there, is if he plays really well, because you look at everybody else in the starting lineup, the next lowest is 32. So I think it's within the realm of possibility. I think he can do it. I don't know if it'll be in game two.
Fair. I'm yawning.
Big yawn, Jacob.
That was a big yawn.
It is that
Let
time.
Me tell you
1 a.m.
Not only is it 1 a.m., but like having the adrenaline that high, the anxiety that high, and then coming off of it, I don't know how I'm getting through a work day tomorrow.
I don't want to be around anymore.
I got a nap scheduled for 4 p.m. sharp, boys.
I've never noticed how that sounder kind of sounds like Jacob if he mumbled a bit.
Play it again. Does. It really does.
And I don't want to be around anymore.
I don't want to be around anymore.
Pretty accurate.
Spot on.
Wednesday night, we're doing it all over again.
Woo! Yeah, we'll be earlier, though. Hey, maybe the most watched live stream in the history of the Uncontested at 1 a.m. on a
Sunday.
That
is correct.
Yeah.
Degenerates.
Hey, shout out to everybody. JD, you can play the exit music while I'm talking.
Okay.
Shout out to everybody who came up to us, said what's up. The love we got tonight was overwhelming and insane. Can't explain how much we appreciate all of you. Thank you for tuning into the show. Incredible night at Paycom Center. New era is upon us, guys. Not hyperbole, not trying to hype it up. Literally, this felt like the birth of a new era. And it's just started. Game one is in the books. Thunder up 1-0 in the first round of the NBA playoffs against the New Orleans Pelicans. Game two comes Wednesday. You can expect a lot of adjustments over the next couple of days. We will see what game two has in store before the team turns around and heads down to the Big Easy. Would be great going down there with a 2-0 lead. We will be with you Wednesday night. We'll get the stream started up a little bit quicker. But if you've watched the stream or if you're watching on YouTube, please hit that like button. That means the world to us. And if you download the podcast version, thank you so much. Drop a 5-star on whichever podcast platform you listen to. Write a little note. And if you're watching the YouTube video at a later date, drop a comment down in the comment section. Let us know what you think of game one. We'd love to read your thoughts.
Unless it's mean.
Yeah, don't leave mean comments.
We're thin-skinned.
Very. You guys have a great Monday. Get some sleep. Get some rest. Get those throat drops. Those cough drops. Get cleared up. Because Wednesday, we're back to the dog pound.
Silva.
Oh. Thank you. What the dog doing? Until then, and as always, Thunder up.